Come on, we all said together. Amen. We got to talk about my girl Leah. We got to talk about my girl Leah because I've never heard a sermon on Leah. I ain't never heard a sermon on Leah. I've never preached a sermon on Leah. So today's going to be a first. We're about to preach on Leah today. And you know you ain't cute when the Bible say you ain't cute. Like, okay. That's a whole nother level of not cute. You know what I'm saying? Like, Leah ain't cute. Like, we know Leah ain't cute. She ain't as pretty as her sister Rachel. But like Moses, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, Moses, while writing Genesis, is like, yeah, and by the way, God, she ain't cute. Like, that's a whole, if somebody's inspired to write the Bible and wants to let us know that homegirl ain't cute, that's a whole nother level. That's a whole nother level. And we got to understand that when we meet Leah in the text, she is dealing with pain because she is married to a man that really doesn't want to be with her. And every time she has a kid, she's having babies to try to win the love and win the approval of this dude that really doesn't want to be with her. And see, we got to have a little grace for Leah because Leah is comparing herself to her sister Rachel. Imagine what it feels like for your daddy, your own daddy, to not believe you could ever get a man. So he took it upon himself to marry you off to your sister's husband. Uh-oh, see, y'all think the Bible ain't relevant. Ooh, the Bible better than TMZ, you know what I'm saying? Like, the Bible is entertaining, okay? Leah is married off to Jacob, and Jacob instantly fell in love with her sister Rachel. The Bible lets us know Rachel's a bad girl. Like, Rachel's so fine that the moment Jacob laid eyes on her, he was like, I want some of you. Like, I don't want a snack. That's a meal. Like, that I want you. Goes to her daddy named Laban and says, I need some of that in my life. Laban says, you're going to have to work for me for 7 years. And Jacob, Rachel's so bad. Jacob is like, let's go. You know you fine. When a dude is willing to wait 7 years and work to get you. And the Bible said that 7 years felt like a couple of days because Jacob was so in love. I don't know. I don't know about all that. Anyway, on the wedding day, Laban puts a veil on Leah's face and marches her down the aisle and gives her away, pretending as if she is her sister, Rachel. Leah and Jacob, they get married. They make sure that it gets dark before they usher them off to the tent for them to consummate. And don't play, because you know it's Bible times. There ain't no light bulbs. Ain't no electricity. So when homegirl took that veil off, it was just dark. Don't act like you ain't never been to the club. Oh, come on. Don't act like you ain't never been to no party and somebody was party cute. Okay. Come on. Like they was cute when the strobe lights was hitting them just the right way, and it was dark, it was all dim. You was squinting like, oh yeah, he cute, girl. But then the next day you woke up like, oh Jesus, what did I do? Okay, don't, you been saved forever? Okay. So Jacob wakes up the next morning after he done consummated, after he done married this woman, and realized, I married Leah. You know, Leah, with the lazy eye, you know. The Bible says she had weak eyes. I'm not making this up. This is what the Bible says. She's looking at you and your friend at the same time, you know. You're trying to figure out who you're looking at. Which eyeball do I look at? Imagine what it feels like to be Leah. Because when we meet Leah, she's in pain. And she's in so much pain, she's naming things permanently based on her temporary pain. She's naming Reuben, Simeon, and Levi based on her rejection. However, God at the beginning of the text said that he saw her, knew that she wasn't loved, and decided to bless her with all these babies. So Leah is blessed. And do you know sometimes the enemy can get in your head so much that even when you're walking in blessing, the enemy makes blessing taste bitter in your own mouth. Oh, I'm coming for your life today. Because for a lot of us, we are blessed, but we're heartbroken. We are blessed, but we're incomplete. We're blessed, but we want what somebody else got. We're blessed, but you're still not content. You're blessed, and God says you're blessed, but you keep staring at Rachel and everything that Rachel got. And as long as you keep your eyes on what somebody else got, you'll never appreciate the blessing of God that is laying in your lap. And we got a lot of people blind to their own blessing because they keep scrolling, comparing their life to everybody else's life. So Leah is blessed, but don't feel blessed. Leah is blessed and aggravated. Leah is blessed and annoyed. Leah is blessed but can't take her eyes off her sister Rachel. Leah is blessed. And I wonder if I'm talking to anybody in here today who you thought 2019 was a loss, but God wants to open up your eyes and make you see, boo-boo, you woke up 365 days straight. What do you mean? How dare you complain? The only reason you're complaining is because you're so fixated on what you want that you cannot appreciate what God gave you. Leah is blessed. See, sometimes blessing don't always feel like blessing. It is very possible to be walking in your abundant season and still feel poor. Uh-oh. It is very possible to be walking in a fruitful season and still feel barren. It is very possible to be walking in blessing and it feels like burden. And it feels bitter. And you're blind to it. And sometimes if you're blind to your own blessing, this is for all the men in the room, you can be so blind to your own blessing that you think your blessing is your job. So you spend all your time on your job and your real blessing, which is your kids, you're missing out on their life. Oh, I'm preaching. You could be so blind to your blessing that while you're complaining about that spouse that you prayed for, hello, somebody else is looking at you like, I'll take her. Okay. Too real. Because the thing that you think is trash can be somebody else's treasure in a heartbeat, boo-boo. Don't get this thing twisted. Just because that husband of yours aggravates you, you got to realize that you prayed for him in a previous season. And sometimes the enemy will get you so trapped in your head that you cannot even realize that the manna in front of you is a miracle. And you complain about how it tastes. Leah wants to be Rachel. Leah is having baby after baby after baby after baby, but is so fixated on the fact that her husband don't love her that she wants what Rachel got. Now, Rachel has the love of Jacob, but can't have a baby to save her life. So while Leah wants what Rachel got, Rachel wants what Leah got. Do you realize that the people who are jealous of you, the people who you're jealous of are probably jealous of you too. But you so consumed with what's happening in their life that you can't take a moment to realize that what you got is exactly what you need. You know what you need to be blessed? You need to be content to be blessed. I'm not focused on what you got. I don't care what car you're driving. I don't care what house God gave you. The only thing I'm concerned about is my legacy and my family and my peace of mind and my blessing and my breakthrough. I'm sick of people coming up to me in church like, I wish my cousin was here to hear the word you just preached. Boo-boo, you so concerned about your cousin that you just missed out on everything that God wanted to say to you. Stop thinking about your cousin. Stop thinking about what God needs to say to everybody else. And mind your business. You know what you need to be content? Some blinders, just put goggles on. Just stop looking at what everybody else is doing. You know why? Because you're Leah right now and everybody's got a Rachel. Everybody has someone who it looks like they got it going on. Listen to me. There are people who would switch with you in a heartbeat. There are people right now, while you're complaining about that dude, there's a single chick that's like, I would switch with you. Okay. There are people who would switch with you right now. And every single time you complain, you throw dirt on everything God has been doing in your life. And at some point, God is gonna stop casting his pearls to swine. If you stop complaining about the blessing of God in your life, because blessing always comes with burden. But we want the blessing, but we don't wanna experience the burden that comes along with being blessed. Leah, you blessed, but the problem is you're so focused on Rachel that you can't see that God opened your womb 4 times and Rachel would switch with you in a heartbeat. She got the love of Jacob, but she's barren right now. She ain't got no babies. She wants to hold a child. Leah is so up in Rachel's business that if you keep reading the text, Leah goes to Rachel one day and is like, oh, so you gonna be with him tonight? This is the Bible. This ain't a tabloid. The Bible. Leah rose up like, oh, so you gonna be with him tonight? All up in Rachel's business. I was literally in Oklahoma, and somebody came up to me, and they was like, Pastor Manny, you know what I'm saying? I've been following you on Instagram for a long time, and for real, like, I didn't even like you that much. I drew some negative conclusions about who you are, but you know what I'm saying? I just spent like 3 hours with you, and I really do like you, and I'm sorry for all the conclusions I drew while I saw you on Instagram. And I looked at him, and I said, man, I'm so sorry that you hate your life so much that my life is entertainment for you. You know what? I ain't looking at nobody's life. I don't draw conclusions about nobody on social media. You know why? Because I don't care what you're doing, because I'm over here living my best life. I don't know what you up to. No, I don't know that you broke up with your man. You know why? I'm over here minding my business. I got enough to deal with. I got my own worries and my own concerns. Stop letting other people's lives be your entertainment. Other people's lives ain't your entertainment. You that bored? You that bored? You need to watch a vlog of somebody else's life. Okay. Oh, Jesus Christ. So your life ain't that entertaining. You know what? My life is my vlog. I'm so concerned with what I'm doing. I really don't have time to be concerned with what you're doing. And that is the secret to being content. I'm in my lane, running my race with my gifts, with my anointing, with my skill set, with the purpose and the plan that God has for my life. And the moment you begin to compare your relationship to somebody else's relationship, your marriage to somebody else's marriage, your friendship to somebody else's friendship, what God is doing in your life to what God is doing in somebody else's life, boo-boo, will you just stare straight and be concerned with your own life? It's funny because Leah is blessed, but she's frustrated. Blessed and aggravated. Blessed and living in a whole bunch of drama. And ain't it crazy how you can be blessed and just living in a whole bunch of drama and you're not even aware to the fact that you are a blessed person? It's funny because about a couple years ago, I developed flight anxiety. Flight anxiety. Flight anxiety is when you break out in a panic attack every time the word flight is mentioned, which for me is torture. Because I'm on like 3 flights a week. If you don't know, the month of January, I preached in Boston, then I preached in England, and then I preached in Vermont, and then I preached in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and then I preached in Edmond, Oklahoma, then I preached in Oklahoma City, and then just last Wednesday, I was in El Paso, Texas. I'm on like 2 flights a week. To have flight anxiety is quite literally torture. I mean torture. And every time I'd be at the gate pacing, God, I rebuke turbulence in Jesus' name. I rebuke the turbulence. I rebuke it. I rebuke it, Jesus. I rebuke turbulence. I rebuke. And before I'm boarding aircrafts, I'm laying hands on the plane. God, I command your angels concerning me right now in Jesus' name. And I was dead serious, scared. I'd be in the middle of the flight. The flight's just... And meanwhile, there's a middle-aged white man typing up reports. It's always a middle-aged white guy that's not scared of the turbulence, you know what I'm saying? Meanwhile, I'm over here like... looking around, praying. God, we rebuke turbulence right now in Jesus' name. God, if you just get me out of this one, I promise, I won't fly no more. Anybody, come on. if we land, Jesus, I promise. And I remember praying on a flight, and the Holy Spirit stopped me and said, until you can pray in faith, shut up. Because every time you pray in fear, you are giving the enemy information about you that he is going to use against you. So until you can pray in faith, shut your mouth. And see, a lot of you ain't saying amen because the only time you pray is when you're scared. So you feel convicted like, well, that's the only time I even pray, Pastor Manny. Yeah, that's a problem. You should be praying so much that fear ain't the only thing that make you pray. The devil is not omniscient. He only knows the information that you share with him. You think he don't listen to you when you pray to figure out what ticks you off, what buttons to push? And this is why, oh Jesus, I feel the Holy Ghost in the room. This is why you need a prayer language. This is why you need to speak in tongues. This is why you need the Holy Ghost to fill you to overflowing so that you can start speaking in tongues. Because when you begin to speak in tongues, the devil don't know what you're saying. It's a coded language. It's when your spirit connects with the Holy Spirit so that the devil don't know how to attack you the next time. You need a prayer language. I believe right now by faith, if you want to speak in tongues, you go ahead and lift up your hands and we're going to pray. Holy Spirit of God, blow through this place. Every tongue that's been tied up, loose it right now in the name of Jesus. Every believer who knows how to speak in tongues should release something into the atmosphere. God, we thank you for a divine prayer language coming on your people so that we can pray when we're scared, pray when we're anxious, pray when we're nervous, and not give the devil no more information than what he already knows. Come on, can we say amen in this place? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're probably wondering what that got to do with Leah. Good, I'm about to tell you. Because she names these boys out of her pain. And you can't trust your mouth when your heart ain't healthy. How many Simeons you got running around? How many Reubens you got running around? How many Levi's you got running around? Jesus can't even use them because you named it while you was rejected. And you named it while you was in pain. And you named it before you even knew what you was talking about. You started naming stuff and you prophesied doom and destruction over your life. I can preach till I'm blue in the face. Pastor Andy can preach till he's blue in the face. This is one of the best churches for preaching in the world. Don't matter who's holding a mic, whether it's Pastor Al, Pastor Tyrus, me, Brian, or Pastor Andy. We got so much preaching in this church, it is ridiculous. But guess what? Nothing can trump what you say out of your mouth. Nothing. Nothing. It doesn't matter what we say. I cannot bless you if every day you wake up, you curse your own life. Giving birth to stuff that is cursing you. You don't talk when you're hurt. Listen to me. You shut your mouth when you are in pain and when you are hurt. If you don't have the right thing to say, you shut up. Because I never had flight anxiety till you know when? All through high school, I traveled on planes, never had a problem. All through college, traveled on planes, never had a problem. It was only when God started releasing me to the world that the enemy showed up at the very door of my purpose and my destiny. Do you know why the enemy is opposing you? Because finally your opportunity is matching up with your destiny. And the opposition of the enemy is proof that you're in your purpose. You can't give up now. Baby, when you get to the door that the enemy's standing in front of, you stay there and you begin to say, I prophesy to this mountain, be thou removed, and you've got to be cast into the sea. Why would the enemy attack me? Where I'm scared to fly, nervous to fly. when I can't even preach nowhere without flying. Can't do what God's called me to do. Nervous. Can't even, when I get to churches, my stomach's all in a knot because I was nervous the whole flight. No, no, no. God wants you to be free. He wants you to be free. I love this because I remember in the middle of dealing with all this flight anxiety, oh, Jesus, I think this is going to bless you. Me and Tia, we were at, I think we were in Sydney, Australia. She thinks we were somewhere else. She's probably right. And for about 30 minutes, I watched flights take off, one after the other, after the other, after the other. And the Holy Spirit said to me, don't those flights look smooth? Don't they look safe? I said, yeah. He said, the problem is you're so inside of your circumstance that you cannot see that you look stronger than you feel. Jesus, I'm preaching to somebody in here. That it feels turbulent, but it looks fine. Even in the middle of you being unemployed, you need a friend that looks at you and says, but you look like you got more joy than you've ever had in your life. I know all hell has broken loose around you, but baby, you look better than how you feel. I know you feel like Rachel has got something you don't got, but baby, when I look at you, I see peace all over you. I see the presence of God all over you. You need somebody who's not in your circumstance to begin to remind you that it looks better than how it feels. Because guess what? When we're in our feelings, all we feel is our feelings. And I wish Leah has somebody in her life that could say, I know it looks turbulent. I know it looks bad. But baby, you blessed. You blessed. You blessed. You blessed. Somebody would switch with you. You blessed. I remember, it's funny. I'm in planes rebuking turbulence. I rebuke turbulence in Jesus' name. The same Jesus that calmed the storm. I command him right now. He's Lord over the winds and the waves. So we say to all the winds causing the turbulence, be calm right now. And Jesus tapped me on my shoulder. Like, hey, guess what, buddy? The reason I had authority over the storm is because I could sleep through it. Okay. You missed it. The reason that Jesus had authority over the storm is because he had authority over himself. The reason Jesus had authority over the storm is because he had authority over his soul. The reason you start rebuking storms and the storm don't listen is because boo-boo you the storm. Uh-oh. Your whole mindset is a storm. Your whole emotional state is a storm. Your whole mental maturity and emotional, that's a storm. You can't rebuke no external storm until you start getting some dominion over the internal storms of your own mind and over your own spirit. Once you can sleep through the storm, that's when you can wake up and make the storm stop doing what it's doing. But you don't got no dominion. You need dominion over your self before you can exercise power over anything outside of you. I remember I was on this flight, turbulence going crazy, and I'm just like, so Jesus, you just ain't gonna listen to me? You just gonna ignore me. And I remember Jesus, the Holy Spirit said this, if I took away the turbulence, I would take away your opportunity to learn real peace. Because real peace is not the removal of turbulence. Real peace is when all hell is breaking loose around you and you've got peace that surpasses all kinds of understanding, peace that ain't logical, peace that's anchored in something that's stronger than you. Real peace is when the turbulence starts going all crazy and you lean your seat back like, yep, time for a nap. Real peace is when there's turbulence and you still got peace. Anybody can have peace when there's a smooth ride. It takes a special somebody with real peace that can have peace in the middle of a storm. I don't want fake peace. I want real peace. The kind of peace where Jesus ain't taking the storm away. He's not going to remove Rachel so that I can now not have the sin of comparison in my life. No, no, no. Keep Rachel right there and let me overcome my comparison. So many people say things like, well, I'm just going to get off of social media because it's causing me to compare. No, boo-boo, all you did was you took away the fruit. If you never deal with your issue of contentment, in 30 days when you get back on social Jesus. I'm just going to take a break from social media because I just can't handle it. You know what I'm saying? I'm comparing myself. A break, boo-boo. You see people in real life, though. What happens when you see them in real life, though? When you see them on Wednesday, you compare yourself to them in real life. How is taking social media away fixing your problem? Taking social media away ain't fixing your problem. The real peace is when you can scroll and not care. We say things thinking we sound spiritual. You know what I'm saying? I just got to go on a social media fast real quick. Like, and we announce it to everybody. Okay. It's like walking into a restaurant like, I ain't eating. Okay, thank you. Then leave, please. Take a little break. Ooh, but then I see you watching my story. Anyway. I love the fact that God says this. I'm not taking Rachel out of your life. You have to overcome. You have to overcome the sin of comparison so that you realize you're blessed. And you named all these boys wrong. Listen, she should have just passed them to their daddy and let the daddy name them because she wasn't in the right mental space to name kids at the time. She put a permanent name on children based on her temporary emotional state. And now Jesus cannot come through none of these boys. A birthright that they should have had. They cannot have because their mother prematurely spoke through her pain instead of digging through and praising, instead of just confessing how she felt in the moment. Praise is when you elevate what you know above how you feel. Real praise is when you elevate what you know above how you feel. Because guess what? As long as a worship leader has to tell you to put your hands up, as long as a worship leader has to tell you, come on, sing along, then guess what? You'll feel good while you're here. But on Monday, you'll go right back to being depressed. And on Tuesday, you'll be right back in anxiety. And then you need to come back to church for another fix. But on Thursday, your life is raggedy all over again. But when you understand the power of praise, I don't need no instruments, I don't need no musicians, I don't need no worship leader, I only need my two eyes. And with my two eyes, I can see that God has been good to me. When I look around and I realize, look at all these babies around here, I begin to see what I never saw, and now I can sing a new song. Oh, come on. You cannot sing a new song until you get new eyes. I love this. Here we go. I'm wrapping it up. In the beginning of the text, it says that the Lord saw Leah and saw that she was unloved, opened her womb and blessed her. Real worship is when you finally lock eyes with the God who's been looking at you all along. Real worship is when you stop looking at Jacob and you stop looking at Rachel and you stop looking at the person to your right and you stop looking to the person at your left. And I just don't want to lift my hands because I'm just scared people are looking at me. Real worship is when you don't care who's looking at you. Real worship is when you get undignified. Like, I don't care who's looking at me because my gaze is fixed on the one who's been seeing me since time began. I can now see that he's been ordering my steps. He's been keeping me from dangers, seen and unseen. Even when I can't discern his hand in my life, he deserves my best praise. This is praise. This time I will praise the Lord. God wants your Judah in here this morning. He wants your Judah this time. I will praise the Lord. I was looking at other people. I was concerned with what other people were doing. But this time, I wonder if that's what you're saying this morning, where you're saying, no, this year, I'm not doing it for no manager to like me. I'm not doing it for nobody to approve of me. I'm not doing it for my father or for my mother. I'm not doing it for no accolades. No, I'm not doing it because of my fraternity or because of my sorority. No. This time, I will praise the Lord. In my eyes are open to the fact that I've been blessed this whole time. I love this. Because if you can't get new eyes, you'll never sing a new song. Worship is more about your eyes than it is about your mouth. Oh, I need you to write that down if you're taking notes. Worship is more about your eyes than it is about your mouth. Because for some of us, we just can't see how good God has been in our life. You cannot see that God has kept you, that he saved you, that he's redeemed you, that he's rescued you, that he has put his grace on you, that every time the sun comes up, it's a testament of his grace and mercy that's brand new over your life. You have let the miraculous become normal. Jesus, you have gotten desensitized to the presence of God. His presence is so normal to you now that now you get in here and everybody else is crying around you and you just numb. You just kind of like, yeah, you know what I'm saying. But if you would remember where you were 3 years ago, you would have walked up in here and you would have lost your mind in his presence. How is it that something that's a miracle 3 years ago is normal to you now? Jesus says, return to your first love. Get back to where my heart and your heart begin to mend together in praise. Get back to your first love. Your first love. Leah, before you were ever married to Jacob, you were married to God. Leah, before you were ever married to Jacob, I knew you. I formed you together in your mother's womb. I've been looking at you this whole time. Before your boyfriend was even in the picture, you had a relationship with God. Before that job was ever even an idol, you had a relationship with the Lord. Before all the disappointment broke out, you had a relationship with the Lord. And what you need to do is let your eyes lock eyes with the one who has been looking at you all along. Looking at you, waiting for you to look back. Looking at you, waiting for you to look back. Looking at you, hoping that you would look back. God sees you. He sees your pain. He sees your misery. He sees your disappointment. He knows that you want Jacob's love. But until you get God's love, Jacob's love will never fill that void. Until you actually get healed and whole, Jacob's love will never matter to you. Until you get the love of God deep in your life and you get content. I think Leah just got to the point where she was tired. Living for likes is tiring. Trying to figure out who to be in what room. Trying to figure out how to talk to what group. Trying to figure out how to get people who don't like you to like you. Boo-boo, let me free you right now. The people who don't like you ain't gonna like you. They ain't gonna like you. It's over. That's done. So now let's move on. And guess what? The people who are for you, they have supernatural grace for you. For all your weaknesses, they like you, they love you, through thick and thin, through ups and downs. And if you can't deal with all the weaknesses associated with my strengths, then baby, that means you can't be in my inner circle. I'm sorry. I'm just sorry. I don't know what to say. Leah gets to the point where she realizes, come on, we've all done this. I'm done praying manipulative prayers. I'm done praying prayers to try to get God to change somebody else. Half the time, God can't even change you. How God gonna change somebody else and how they relate to you? At some point, Leah said, you know what? If he don't love me, he don't love me. And you know what? That's all I can say about that. If he don't love me, he don't love me. He loved my sister. It is what it is. I'm not going to live the rest of my life wanting something I'll never get. I'm not going to live the rest of my life wanting something that I will never get. I'm going to say this in close. A teenage girl came up to me 2 years ago. She was in tears. She wanted a relationship with her mother, but her mother just didn't want a relationship with her. And I said to that, I said, this 15, 16-year-old girl, with tears in her eyes, we're talking about forgiving your parents. And she desperately wanted a relationship with her mom. Her mom lived in another state. Her mom had given her up for adoption. Her mom wasn't in her life. And literally, this girl has been calling her mom. Mom won't answer the phone. Been trying to be in her mom's life. And I looked at her and I said, sweetheart, imagine if you asked me for $50 and I said, I don't got $50. And then you keep asking me for $50 and I keep saying, I don't have $50. I said, you're asking your mother to give you something she does not have. You're demanding love just because she had a child. Just because you have a child doesn't mean you're ready to be a parent. And your mother, you need to let your mother go. And until you let her go, you'll never realize how she actually blessed you. Because you know what? There are probably some spiritual mothers who would love to have you in their life. But you know what? You can't appreciate anything that God brings your way because you are fixated and attached to the one thing you want. Baby, listen. Your parents did the best with what they had. You can release her. You can release her. And I don't know who I'm prophesying to in this room, because I've not said that all day. You can release your mother. You can release her. You know why? She did the best with what she had. And if she had it to give, she would have gave it to you. But she did not have it to give to you. So why would you sit there and demand something from someone who does not have it to give to you? You need to move on. Get healed. Find closure. Leah is demanding that Jacob produce love for her that he don't got. Some people don't got what you've been demanding of them. And you need to free them. They don't have it. They don't have it. I know you want them to be this and be that for you. They don't have it. The moment I realize someone does not have what I'm demanding of them, I am now the fool if I keep demanding the thing that they have proven they do not have. Some men don't have faithfulness, boo-boo. They cannot be faithful. Okay. They can't be faithful. He ain't gonna get a job. So you keep demanding. Oh, God. He don't got maturity. He don't got it. He don't got it. Just release him so he can be somebody else's problem and not your project. Uh-oh. Why you want a project when he can easily just be somebody else's problem? You can take this fool, wrap him up. I found a good and goodbye. Thank you. Gospel according to Beyonce. You can take this joker. If you're in this room today and you're saying, Pastor Manny, you're right. I need to fix my eyes. I got to fix how I see. I got to fix how I see. If that's you, come on, lay your hands on your eyes right now. I believe this is prophetic. This is more powerful than any altar call we could do, is you laying hands on yourself, on your eyes. Come on, repeat after me. God, God, open my eyes to see your goodness, your grace, your blessing all around me. I'm sorry that I haven't seen it, but today I open my eyes. And I'll open my mouth, and I'll begin to praise you for everything you've done. You don't need to repeat after me. I'm going to pray over you. God, we rebuke the voice of comparison right now in Jesus' name. That voice of discontentment, that voice that was in Leah's head telling her that Rachel really had what she wanted. God, we say right now, the grass is not greener on the other side. It's greener where we water it. God, we're going to begin to water the seed of God's word in our lives. God, make us consumed with our lives, not in a selfish way, just in a way where we are evident. It's evident that you are doing something in our life. God, this is a new year. We don't want to bring old habits into a new year. God, fix our minds. Fix our eyes. Let our eyes be stayed on you. God, let the level of praise and worship this year exceed and excel above anything that we've ever had in this church. God, we want to be a church, not where we have to make people worship, but where people come to church and they are so hungry for your presence because they just want to say thank you for all of the things that you've done in their life. God, open our eyes to new possibilities. Open our eyes to new opportunities. Open our eyes. God, we want prophetic eyes to see that your hand has been on us, that your grace has been in us, and God, that you have met with us. God, we say right now, we know that the enemy wants to pluck up the seed of your word, but God, we say, Holy Spirit, guard the word, guard the seed of your word. God, water this word all throughout this week, and God, when we come back together, we promise to give your name all glory and all honor and all praise. Come on, we said amen, 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 all over this place. We love you, World Overcomers. We love you. Come back tonight for the Super Bowl party. It's not just a men's event, it's a family event. Amen. Did you hear a word this morning? You hear a word this afternoon? You hear a word from God? God bless you. Let me just breathe a benediction over you before you pray, before you leave. God, as we leave this place, God, we don't want to leave your presence. God, we ask that you would keep us safe on the highways and byways. God, keep our cars safe. God, we ask that your angels would encamp around our vehicles. God, we rebuke car accidents right now in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for increase. God, bless your people. Make your face shine upon your people. Show your people your countenance, God. Thank you for your grace. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And we all say together, amen, amen, amen. You are dismissed, World Overcomers. We love you. Go in the peace of the Lord.